Keep up to date with the past on the 100 Years Ago Show with Mark Stein.
A coronation in a custom-built cathedral? No booze in international waters? And no cakewalk for the inventor of the gollywog? It's October 1922.
100 years from today.
Your world news update. The messy aftermath of the Great War is ameliorating a little for the first time in 8 years. Since the start of that conflict in August 1914, France holds no German prisoners of war. The last of the German Empire's soldiers have been released almost 4 years after the armistice. The rivalries of the great empires may have died with them, but new forces are in play. In the capital city of the Kingdom of Italy, fascists invaded the offices of the housing commissioner and had all the female clerks dismissed to be replaced by ex-soldiers. The fascists have sent a letter to Prime Minister Factor declaring that they have taken justice into their own hands. King Ferdinand and his consort Marie, granddaughter of Queen Victoria via her son Alfred, Duke of Saxe, Coburg and Gotha, have been King and Queen of Romania for 8 years. But war and then the expansion of the kingdom to encompass the Bukovina and Bessarabia postponed their coronation. It has now been belatedly but lavishly held in a purpose-built coronation cathedral at Alba Iulia, where before distinguished guests such as the Queen's cousin, the Duke of York, and the French war hero Marshal Foch, Ferdinand and Marie were crowned the first King and Queen of Greater Romania. The Metropolitan of all Romania officiated, but the King refused to be crowned by a member of the Eastern Orthodox Church, so it was left to the President of the Senate to hand His Majesty the crown made of steel from Turkish guns captured in 1877, and then watch him place it on his own head. The King, in turn, crowned his consort. Hers is made of Transylvanian gold. After the service, a great feast was held where 20,000 Romanian peasants were served 20,000 of the finest steaks. At the 11th hour, in an obscure town on the Sea of Marmara, the Armistice of Mudania was agreed between Turkey and the Allied powers to end the Greco-Turkish War. Mustafa İsmet signed on behalf of the Grand National Assembly of Turkey, while Lieutenant General Charles Harrington Harrington and General Charles Antoine Charpie signed for Great Britain and France. Under the terms of the armistice, Greece agrees to recognize Turkish claims to Smyrna and eastern Thrace, and has been given 15 days to withdraw west of the Maritsa River. Such famous Greek cities as Andrianople, Dardanella, Saranta Ecclesias, and Raedestos are now lost to Mustafa Kemal's men, their names to vanish from the map and be replaced by Turkish ones. A mass exodus is underway in Thrace as Greeks and Armenians who dread even the thought of living under the Turks have fled westward. The former Greek Prime Minister Eleftherios Venizelos has asked the League of Nations to organize a mandatory population exchange between Greece and Turkey in order to avoid any further massacres. Mr. Venizelos has asked that Fridtjof Nansen, the Norwegian Nobel Peace Prize laureate, oversee the operation. And what has Turkey agreed to in return? It is rumoured that Britain and France are demanding the permanent abolition of the Sultanate and the deportation of 600 senior figures from the Ottoman court. It is almost 4 months since the German foreign minister, Walter Rathenau, was assassinated. The conspirators in the plot have now been tried, convicted, and given sentences of up to 15 years in prison. The prosecution chose to focus on the anti-Jewish aspects of the murder rather than on the politics. Herr Rathenau was accused of being one of the signatories of the Protocols of the Elders of Zion. Judging from the convictions, this was a shrewd move, and it is generally felt that the trial and its successful conclusion have strengthened the fledgling Weimar Republic.
Wonder will they know me down in old Ahoy. When I went away that summer day, Mammy wrote to say, you took the sunshine with you, honey, home. Oh, how I miss you. The love you gave me was divine. Wonder will they know me in the home, dear old home of mine. Wonder will they know me.
Never mind wondering if they'll know you in Dahomey. Will they know you in Niger? It's in the same general neck of the woods, a little ways north, but much harder to rhyme in English or in French. Niger, or Niger, was the only part of French West Africa still under military rule. It will now be a new civilian colony du Niger, with a lieutenant governor presiding over the Hausa, Songhai and Zama peoples, and reporting to the Governor General in St. Louis. Have you heard of Iraq? I-R-A-K? Most of us still think of it as Mesopotamia, but under a new treaty between His Britannic Majesty's government and that of King Faisal in Baghdad, Iraq will be an autonomous Hashemite kingdom, with London retaining control of its foreign affairs.
By the old mine pagoda, look and eat for a to the sea. There's a firm girl setting, and I know he thinks of me. For the wind is in the palm tree, and the temple bell they say, come you back, you British soldier, come you back to Mandalay, come you back to Mandalay.
Instead of coming back to Mandalay, why not head a little ways east, where the Burma girls are a-settin' and they're just as pretty, and they're now part of the British Empire's newest administrative division, the Federated Shan States. London has taken the decision to merge the various Burmese princely states into a single unit. This necessarily diminishes both the prestige and autonomy of the individual rulers of Keng Tung and the Karenni states and the like, but the Shans will now report to the British Commissioner, who also administers the Wa states to the northeast of the new federation.
All that are out of Ireland, let their happy feelings flow, like the old river channels flowing free.
The provisional government of the incoming Irish Free State offered an amnesty to its enemies, provided they turned in their weapons. The amnesty has now expired, and one group of Irish nationalists will be imprisoning the other. The Free State Army has been ordered to begin the mass arrest of Irish Republicans in possession of illegal weapons. The Roman Catholic Church is on board with that. After meeting at St. Patrick's College in Maynooth, Catholic bishops have condemned the Irish Republican Army and ordered its priests to deny the sacraments to Republicans. Clergy who continue to aid the rebels will be suspended. In a pastoral letter, the bishop said, "It is most inconceivable how decent Irish boys could degenerate so tragically and reconcile such methods of criminality with their duties to God and Ireland."
I've got the blue. I've got the blue. I've got the alcoholic blues. No more beer, my heart to cheer. Goodbye,
you used to make me pretty. U.S. Bureau of Prohibition agents have made their first seizure of a foreign ship guilty of the crime of transporting liquor. It is a Canadian schooner, the Emerald, captured 8 miles off the coast of New Jersey. The British Embassy has protested the seizure and pointed out that the Emerald was not using its own boats to transport rum to the Jersey shore, but unloading it to other boats in international waters. Sir Auckland Geddes, the British ambassador, has informed the US government that His Majesty's government utterly rejects American assertions of the right to search British ships within 12 miles of the American shore. In the United States proper, we have reported previously on the shocking double murder of an Episcopal rector, the Reverend Edward Hall, and a choir member with whom he was conducting an affair, Eleanor Mills. Their bodies were found in a field at a farm near Somerset, New Jersey, and investigations have been stymied by the contamination of the crime scene by sightseers. But new evidence continues to emerge, including love letters between the victims, suggesting that the rector and his paramour were planning to bolt to a foreign country. Blood-stained handkerchiefs were also found, one bearing the monogram S. A witness claims to have seen a woman casing the old Phillips farm earlier in the day. In Kansas, Mr. Theodore Shillman, the mayor of the small town of Liberty, made the mistake of publicly denouncing the Ku Klux Klan. A group of Klansmen kidnapped the mayor from his office, drove him 4 miles out of town, and gave him 30 lashes of the whip. They warned him that it would be worse if he spoke out again. The governor of Kansas, Henry Allen, has deplored the incident. Quote, "The responsibility rests on the shoulders of those who employ the disguise and preach the right of mobs to take the law in their hands." The state's attorney general will be conducting an investigation. America has a new national monument, three caves in Utah, taking their name from the second to be found, the Timpanogos Cave. It was discovered just 9 years ago in 1913, but the finders were secretive, and the location of the cave was lost. It was rediscovered just last year on St. Valentine's Day, and it is hoped that its new designation as a national monument will prevent it being lost all over again. The bloom is off the rose of Argentine. 6 months after winning the election, while resident in France, Marcelo Torquato de Alvear has finally brought to a close the somewhat leisurely transfer of power and taken office as president of the Argentine. However, his choice of ministers has unsettled the former president, since they are mostly opponents of his. Argentine radio broadcast the change of command, and for the very first time, the voice of a president was heard over the airwaves. In business news, the acquisition by Bethlehem Steel of the Lackawanna Steel Company has been finalized. It makes Bethlehem not just the second largest steel company in America, but in the world, after U.S. Steel.
Hello, Central. Give me no man's land. My daddy's there. My mama told me.
In one part of New York City, Central itself is now a no man's land. A switchboard operator is no longer required at the Pennsylvania Exchange in Manhattan. Well, not for local calls made by means of dials with fingers, instead of numbers given orally to the operator. About 1,700 telephones are said to have the direct dial capacity, including those at the Pennsylvania and Waldorf hotels. We shall watch with interest to see whether this innovation catches on.
Love her by radio. You will find it radio.
You can now love her by radio in Cuba. PWX in Havana is a joint venture of the Cuban Telephone Company and the International Telephone and Telegraph Company of New York, and can be heard across the island and even on the U.S. mainland.
I'm on my way to Cuba. There's where I'm going. Cuba, there's where I'll stay. Cuba, where all is happy. Cuba, where all is gay. Why don't you plan a wonderful trip to Havana? Hop on a ship and I'll see you in Cuba.
The gentlemen of the press were invited to the Selwyn Theatre in New York for a preview screening of a forthcoming picture, Mars Calling. It's about a scientist who invents a tickless alarm clock and a radio with which he hopes to contact Mars. But that's not why all the reporters showed up. Mars Calling is the latest experiment in so-called 3D, three-dimensional motion pictures. In this instance, via the Teleview system invented by Lawrence Hammond. The process uses high-speed alternate frame sequencing that is viewed through a motorized stereopticon bolted to the armrest of each seat in the theater. So far, business at the Selwyn is fairly brisk. The Danish composer Carl Nielsen is renowned around the world, so it was no surprise that the first performance of his latest work was eagerly anticipated by music lovers in Copenhagen. It is a quintet for flute, oboe, clarinet, horn, and bassoon. And Mr. Nielsen said he was moved to write it after hearing the Copenhagen Wind Quintet rehearsing while he was on a telephone call. He has attempted to render the characters of the various instruments. At one moment, they are all talking at once, he says. At another, they are quite alone. The work was well received at its debut at the Oddfellows Mansion in Copenhagen. What's in a name? The SS Friedrich der Grosse began life in 1896 as a German ocean liner, sailing the seas as far as Australia for the Norddeutsche Line. Then war came, and it was eventually seized by the United States Navy as a troop carrier, the USS Huron. After decommissioning, it became a mail ship, and then in May this year was given to the Los Angeles Steamship Company. They renamed it the City of Honolulu, and she set off on her maiden voyage from Los Angeles to Hawaii. Alas, the briefly rechristened City of Honolulu caught fire and sank 670 miles southwest of San Pedro, California. All passengers and crew were safely rescued, but the ship's many lives have come to an end. That's the famous Gollywog's Cakewalk by Claude Debussy. But do you know who invented the Gollywog? The now ubiquitous black doll was created by the children's author and illustrator Florence Kate Upton in 1895 for a book called The Adventures of Two Dutch Dolls and a Gollywog. It spread around the world and even to your breakfast table, having been taken up by Robertson's Jams as the company mascot 12 years ago. Miss Upton despaired of the sinister racial origins some observers discerned in her creation. "I am frightened," she said, when I read the fearsome etymology some deep, dark minds can see in his name. Kate Upton has died at her studio in North London from complications following surgery. She was 49. Anton Kolm was one of the first picture producers and directors in the Habsburg Empire and the founder of what was the leading production company in Austria-Hungary. He came to concentrate on the financial side and increasingly left the creative work to his wife, Luisa. Herr Kolm is dead at 57. James Hastings was a minister of the Scottish United Free Church and a scholar who produced what have become the definitive works in their field, including the Dictionary of the Bible, the Encyclopedia of Religion and Ethics, and the scholarly journal The Expository Times. He is dead at 70. Arnold Ehret was discharged from the German army after 9 months because of a weak heart. He took an interest in naturopathy and began promoting fasting and a fruit diet. He was then diagnosed with Bright's disease and inflammation of the kidneys and claimed to have cured it through his mucusless diet, aided by the inner clean intestinal laxative he invented. So why is such a health-conscious man dead at 56? Alas, Herr Ehret was walking down the street when he fell and struck his head. And that's the way of the world. October 1922.
100 years from today, 100 years from today.
The 100 Years Ago Show is a production of Markstein Enterprises and O'Kill Media. All rights reserved.